I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim, and welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. We're recording this on Sunday, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, so we wanted to have an uplifting story.
It's going to make you feel good about Thanksgiving.
It is, and you're
it's a feel-good story, Tim.
You're going to be thankful, Brandy, after... You're going to be thankful that you're not married to this lady. But anyway, before we get into that, let me remind everyone that we are a comedy podcast. We do sometimes use foul language.
Are we?
What, Charles?
We think we're hilarious.
So if you're offended by adult language, then we would suggest what, Brandy?
Try another fucking podcast.
Hit the road, Jack. And go fuck yourself.
There's
some
that.
More. Girl, some I've been more, thinking, some more. Some more. I miss Ray Colonel, Charles, Timmy. I miss Ray.
Mixing it up. Of,
Colonel, can you give us a little bit of House of the Rising Sun?
No.
There is a house in New Orleans. They call the Rising Sun.
I like that, Brandy.
I don't like it. I never like when Chuck sings.
And God, I know I'm one.
That sounds really like about Eric Burton there, Timmy.
Yes, it is about a brothel.
Brings a little tear to my eye. It does.
Mine too. I mean, you know, I'm sentimental when it comes to brothels.
Yes.
They hold a special place in your groin, Timmy.
Jesus Christ.
All right, so let's talk about this. Let me introduce everyone first. I am proud to introduce Brandy. You've been terribly missed, and I'm getting I'm getting emails from people saying, "Where the hell is Brandy?"
Brandy's
they love Kelly, but you know they also love you, Brandy. So, you doing okay? Well, let me introduce you first.
Okay,
she is a lady known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty, Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
You know, Timmy, I am swimming. I'm just keeping my head above water, so it's all just fine.
You know, you say that with a lot of tension.
You do. Not optimism, but tension.
Tension.
And in these difficult times, Devil, I want you to know, you know, people have noticed your absence, and I don't want to violate HIPAA stuff here, but I just want you to know that me and Timmy and our listeners, we support you as you make this transition, Devil. So you have our full support as you try to transition into a normal functioning human being.
Wow.
And we know it's going to be difficult, but you know, if you look to me, look to Timmy for guidance. We're here for you. Let us help you help yourself.
Well, I mean, first, I really think you first use us as role models.
Yeah, right.
Envision yourself kind and gentle and sweet. And if you need to visualize that, just think of me and Chuck.
Right. Empathy. That, well, I don't know if you've gotten that far in your How to Become a Normal Human handbook, but empathy, devil. Empathy. We have it, and we model it for you. So just look to us all the time.
No, not going to do that. But thank you for the offer.
How is your Noah?
Goddamn Noah. Noah's fine. Noah has a girlfriend gives him.
Hey.
I know. And she gives him. Well, she gives him like at least once a week. He comes home with a new hair tie on his wrist.
Oh, right.
And I'm like, why do you have a hair tie? Well, she gave it to me. I mean, he's got like a stack of them at this point. I don't understand the significance, probably because I'm not in seventh grade. But,
young love.
You know, they had a dance the other night. He didn't go. He didn't want to go because his friend wasn't going to be there and she didn't want to go. So, I mean, it's a whole young love, lots of Axe body spray, lots of hair gel happening here. So he's
how old is he now? How old is he?
He's 12.
12.
How do you like that? Remember when I walked in carrying him on my hip into your office?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Now he's 12.
That was a long time ago.
And he is 12.
Randy,
now.
I know you don't want to hear this, but he is coming up on the period where.
Yes. No, he's probably already there, Timmy.
Listen, I've already raised a boy. I am familiar with all of the levels.
Those socks will walk themselves to the washer here soon.
I don't touch him. I make him load all of his underwear into the washer himself.
I mean, kids got made now because you can get porn on the internet. But, you know, when you're 12 years old, you have to walk into the bookstore and
I used to have to draw my own porn.
Mad magazines, crack magazines, and then you stick
one Playboy in there. You know, I think there was a pivot point where really there was this thing where you could see a fracture in society, Timmy. I had not seen a Penthouse magazine in forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw one. I happened across one laying on the side of the road. And I picked it up and I opened it up. And people were actually doing it in Penthouse.
Captain Obvious. That was the whole point of Penthouse.
Yeah, no. Penthouse was just pictures of naked women.
Yes.
I think he's talking you're talking like actual fornication.
They were having intercourse.
Right?
There was penetration.
In Penthouse, yeah, there was.
But I mean, that's when I realized society is going to hell in a handbasket.
Well,
because I just
swank and I liked legs. Remember legs, magazine legs.
Me and Al Bundy had one thing in common. To me, is we like biggins,
jugs.
Big naturals. To me, I like the big naturals, and even if they were so big and so natural that they were hanging down to the thighs, Timmy.
Okay.
It was like, look at that.
I'm glad Brandy Time has taken this weird ass turn. So that's amazing.
It's actually the best Brandy Time we've ever had, I think.
Yeah, well.
I will say, when I look at the statistics.
I know that's a low bar, but.
When I look at the statistics for our show, when Brandy Time ends, that's when the listenership kind of really drops off. So right now we're in our peak of when people are listening to the show.
Yeah. So fuck off.
All right. Well, we're glad you're here, Brandy.
Thanks.
It's good to see you again.
Listen, I called off work for this.
And no fucks were given, were they?
None. Zero fucks. No responsibility.
You have a lot of sorrow in your face.
I do not. I did, however, tell him, I'm like, Noah's super sick and Dave can't really take care of him. So, I mean, I got to stay home. whatever. No fucks.
Do they know you? Do they know you have a pug? Yeah.
Some of them do. Not many. They wouldn't know, they don't know how to find it, even if. But
okay.
I just nope. No fucks. If somebody hears this from Target, no fucks. Go ahead.
That's the winning kind of attitude you need to keep to have.
That's the reason I am ill prepared to be in human resources.
Oh, that's doing it for one of the years. Reasons you're ill prepared to be a human being.
Maybe. So. That may be, but it's working out for me. So let's do Chuck time so we can get through that.
I know you won't say it, Brandy.
He's going to turn into Snoop Dogg.
Let me say it because I know you won't, you're hesitant to say it, but let me say it. Fuck Target. How's that?
Well, Target can suck my dick.
Well, you said that.
That's a classic one.
You said that, Snoop, not me. So. Because the last time I said something like that, I got fired.
I'm still having trauma over it because you said it to me.
you should be having trauma. That's not even in the top 10 of the worst things I've ever said.
Well, and hold on.
Not in the top three.
Technically, you said it to me.
That's what you should have said, Brandy, when they fired you. You should have said, you fired me for this?
You should have done a George
Costanza.
I don't understand why you didn't do a George Costanza and say, is that wrong? Is that
right.
When he was banging the cleaning lady?
Is there some policy against that?
I'm looking into policy. I don't see anything.
It was a freedom speech situation. But you know what? Fuck them. Fuck Target. Fuck it all.
I think the bigger problem wasn't that you said it or that you said it to me. Is that you said it to me as I was in a hallway, but people on the first floor could hear you say it.
Well, obviously, yes.
And so Brandy, obviously, we can't bring Chuck in the conversation, but fuck JFS too. How's that?
Oh, God, yeah. And also,
they are a noble organization who do nothing but try to help the community.
Karma's a fucking whore. That's all I'm saying. Fucking whore.
Let me introduce.
Let's do this.
You know, these are troubled times, Brandy. There's war in the Ukraine. There's war in the Middle East. Probably be a war here in this country next year when the election comes around. So when
perfect.
These are troubled times, and people need someone to look toward through these troubled times. And I would like to
introduce
who is an oasis in the desert of despair.
Nope.
He is a best-selling author. Mm. And we understand now that
he plagiarized. Was plagiarized.
It's going to be made into a musical. Broadway musical.
A musical. A Broadway show, Timmy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hugh Jackman's going to be in it, Timmy.
Oh, no, he's not.
Yes, he is. Hugh Jackman's packing wood,
Jeff
man.
Daniels.
Who?
I heard Jeff Daniels. Jeff Daniels is.
No, you know what? We talked to Jeff, but he's gotten up there in years a little bit, and some of the moves Jeff is just not physically capable of. To me.
Listen,
like we got into chapter 14, and he wanted to use a body double, and we just couldn't do it.
No, the only people you've been able to get on board for this is Kevin Sorbo,
Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah.
Zach did that special Between the Ferns. And
I love Between the Ferns.
This is much like Between the Ferns in some of the chapters. So
Zach Galifianakis is not giving your little play any sort of airtime. You've got Kevin Sorbo. You can have Clint Eastwood and James Woods. That's all you get.
I hear Scott Baio might be available.
What has happened to James Wood?
Scott Baio is available. You know who else might be available is Ann Coulter. She might be your female lead protagonist.
Is it wrong that I've always found her somewhat
nope. Bangable? It's disgusting. No, why? It's just bone. No.
So my guilty kind of one is Lauren Boebert.
Ooh.
I feel like she's kind of like trashy hot. for sure.
Yeah, but I feel like she's a STD stew is what I feel like she would be.
You know what, Chuck? We're all going to die guilty, something.
My guilty one is pleasure is Mitch McConnell.
There you go. You know, Thad.
I mean, you know, if I was into guys, Mitch McConnell.
What was the episode where we
couldn't run away from you?
You throw somebody in the stockade in the middle of town, and during the night, people would come up and sodomize them. Remember that one?
Wow. Yeah. What? I don't. But hey,
yeah, if you got thrown in the stockade in the middle of the town, occasionally people would come up, rip down your drawers, and just take a shot at you.
I mean, it's just there. But Thad, I was just thinking. The perfect place to take Lauren Boebert on a date would be to Chuck's play.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, she has no problems with public displays of affection.
I mean, you're there supporting Chuck.
All the lights are on. People are right around. I mean, you know.
Make sure there's lots of kids
there. She's known to pleasure a man.
And she vapes. She vapes. What's not to love about that?
I mean, that's classy with a capital K right there.
That is classy. All right, I don't have a guilty pleasure.
The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters, the third, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm doing wonderful, Timmy. I'm doing wonderful. I was out last week, Timmy, and you know, I run in kind of celebrity circles here in Cincinnati, and ran into one of my good friends. We was eating at a restaurant, and ran into one of my good friends, Joe Burrow, Timmy. Yep.
Joe Cool.
We talked. Now Joe's, you know, Joe is very careful about what he eats. Doesn't drink soda, doesn't drink, you know, he's drinking water. And then we was talking about his dad, you know, because his dad was a player. And anyway, we got into arm wrestling, Timmy.
Uh-huh.
And Joe said, you know, one of the things people don't know about me is I was a very well-known arm wrestler. And I was like, you know, I bet I could beat you, Joe. I bet I could beat you. And I'm going to give you a chance because I'm left-handed. You're right-handed. Let's do it right-handed.
This is 2 minutes of my life.
And
I'm
me
never
and Joe
getting back
arm wrestled Timmy. And it took me about 5 seconds, and I just slammed his arm down on the ground, got up, walked away. The whole bar clapped for me and everything else. And
was it a slow clap?
I beat him.
Did you
get
the slow clap?
Unfortunately, Timmy, Joe Burrow is no longer able to play football this season, which may have been due to the fact that I slammed his wrist down on the table, beating him in arm wrestling, Timmy.
So that is why we're not going to win a game for the rest of the year.
So you are the newest villain in Cincinnati.
Yeah, everybody's blaming me. He was the one that was running his little trap. I could beat you in arm wrestling, Colonel, blah, 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 blah. It's not my fault. How's it my fault? I got people in front of my house. I got people yelling at me.
You got protesters.
I'm going through a tough time right now, Timmy. Well, going through a tough time.
I hope.
Now, Colonel, are you going to do an apology tour? Like, are you going to go on Geraldo and
Geraldo?
He started it.
You know, Geraldo's real name is Jerry Rivers. It really is.
So he wanted to make himself sound more ethnic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know what I'm going to do? Now that I've got the beard that's pretty much disappeared, I'm getting me a Geraldo mustache. I'm going to grow one of those.
See, I don't think you can.
I'm thinking we bring back, with me, you, and Thad, we can bring back the Van Dyke. You know what I mean?
I was thinking about that. But you know what I was thinking about, and tell me that you don't find this hot, Devil. I was thinking about getting a Raleigh Fingers mustache, and this reference might be lost on you, but growing it right above my Johnson, you know, just waxing it up. So when people look and they see it, they just see a Raleigh Fingers.
Colonel, this is what we should do. One side of your face, the Raleigh Fingers curled, you know, the mustache wax and all that. And on the other one, the Walrus, you know, the Walrus.
Yeah. Goose Gossage.
That would look really good.
I could be Raleigh Fingers and Goose Gossage all in one.
At the same time.
Yeah.
I think you should do that.
And then maybe Tim, you could do it where yours is mirrored of his, right? So whatever side he does the Goose Gossage.
My God. Nobody gives a shit.
You know what?
Let's get to the story.
You know what's never coming back is the Hitler mustache. Mm. It's just not coming back. Well, I mean, we see what the next election looks like, but chances are it's not
might be popular. Back.
Let me introduce our producer. He's doing a great job with the podcast and with the Patreon and with the TikToks. And the YouTube, we actually have a YouTube channel now, thanks to him. Mad Thad, the producer. How you doing, Thad?
I'm hanging in there, and just a quick plug, if you want to find all of those links, go to historydweebs.org, and you can find links to our social media page, our podcast.
Oh, my God, we have a website, too.
We have a website, and on there is a link to Black Cat and Me, our show sponsor. So definitely click on that for all your home decor.
All right, let's talk about this lady. How do I pronounce her name again, Thad?
Omema
Nelson. After bludgeoning her husband to death on Thanksgiving in 1991, Omema Nelson butchered his body, fried his hands in oil, cooked his head, and mixed his remains with leftover turkey. Anything about that, Brandy?
He probably deserved it.
Tell me that's not a crazy turkey call. That, now, you know what? My problem is I'm going to have a turkey in my backyard if they heard that. But I can do a turkey call.
Your talents, never end.
Yeah, I'm sure when you go outside, there will be turkeys everywhere. But anyway, let's get back to Omema. Omema Nelson was an Egyptian model. She was a model from Egypt who immigrated to the United States when she was 18. I wonder if like she was a real model or like she just like on OnlyFans.
Yeah.
I don't think she was OnlyFans.
Didn't Paul Simon write a song about her?
Yes.
Oh, Mama, you're chopping me up. You're cooking my heart daily. Oh, Mama. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know, careful there. We don't want to get DMCA'd.
Well, you know, when the colonel sings, it's like, you know, and just...
It's like caterwauling.
Well, I mean, everyone stops and just listens. Omema.
She breaking my heart.
Stop it.
18. But just a few years later, she would be embroiled in a bizarre and gruesome criminal trial that would lead to comparisons between her and Hannibal Lecter and Jeffrey Dahmer. I mean, you know, Hannibal Lecter is a fictional character, but Jeffrey Dahmer. I mean, you don't want that comparison, do you, Brandy? I mean,
probably not, no.
Wouldn't look good on your resume.
Would not. There are worse. The reasons
for these comparisons is Omema had been accused of bludgeoning her husband of only 1 month to to death. So he's married for a month, and then she beat this guy to death.
Again, he was probably asking her 85 questions about where shit was in the kitchen when it's right in front of his goddamn face. That shit gets old.
I'll tell you what, though. I'm looking up right now, and she is she's quite doable. I might take my chances with her.
Well, that was 1991, Colonel, so now she's probably got a penis.
Yeah, you know, yeah. That's,
one of those that's... big Egyptian penises.
Do they have big Egyptian penises?
What the fuck is wrong with the two of you today?
I think they do.
Get your shit together.
I mean, I don't see a lot of Egyptian men in porn movies.
Well, you're not watching the right porn.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, I don't like to watch porn with subtitles because I like to follow the plot. So,
of course, the plot's important.
Because the pizza guy has a backstory?
Exactly. I don't like to watch Russian porn. That's why. Those subtitles are hard to follow.
Jesus. Yeah, but, you know, Russian porn is a lot more graphic than American porn.
Why do you know that?
Nothing compared to the German porn, Timmy. The general, you say one thing, you know, we were talking about our friend Adolf, but not our friend, but, you know, well known. Adolf is not a friend to the show. I just say that.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah. But the Germans put out some pretty crazy porn, Timmy.
You like German porn?
If you were going to pick by nationality, who puts out the craziest porn? It's got to be the Germans.
And I gotta say, there's some crazy Japanese porn out there.
Yeah, I can't make sense of that shit. That Japanese porn. It's just like,
oh my god.
It's like there's stuff with tentacles.
They listen, do like you know. Weird listen. Stuff.
Wait, yeah, now, here's the thing. We were trying to talk about this lady who, you know, dismembered her husband, did these things.
Yeah.
And you all want to talk about some fucked up foreign porn. We can't just stick with the fucked up story we have. We have to branch off into other fucked up shit. Can we just stay with the fucked up shit that's right fucking here?
What does it make you say?
What type of nationality porn do you favor, Randy? Are you just an what American? The fuck? You like American porn? Or?
Well, I'm just, you know...
You know Canadian what my porn, porn is? Watching
Canadian
you know
porn, my porn is pretty boring, actually.
Some guy coming in and cleaning somebody's house. That's my fucking porn. Somebody coming in and sweeping the goddamn floors. You can do it fully clothed. I don't give a shit. I don't even need to know your name. You want to come in and clean the fucking grout in my bathroom? I'm down. That's my fucking porn. Watching somebody clean shit up in my goddamn house.
Everybody's
I don't care what nationality. I don't give a shit what nationality they are.
You know,
there
to me, speaking of...
There are guys that pay women just to watch them clean the house.
This was... and you're. That's
I don't
true.
Give a fuck who it is.
With no clothes on.
I'm going to go to care.com and get somebody, and that's my fucking porn. And that's where I'm going to get my fucking porn.
I'm going to tell you...
care.com, because they have people that come in and scrub down your fucking house. That's what I'm going to go with.
This is another... Now? Another crack in society's fabric, tear in society's fabric, Timmy, is not long ago I had a pizza delivered to me. And it was a very attractive woman who delivered the pizza. And she got in and I was a little coquettish, you know, Timmy. And I said, oh, I'm looking through my wallet. And I was like, oh, it appears I have no money for this pizza. Because I've seen this movie too. Yeah. And then... she just handed it to me and said, oh, it was just put on your credit card.
Yeah.
It just broke my heart, Timmy. I was like, well, you know, back in the old days, this could have turned out well for me, you know?
No, yeah, she would have.
Nope.
She would have bent over on a dining room table or something. And
yeah, she was like, that's okay. Christ. Venmo, you know, just here, what's your Venmo? Here's a Venmo. It was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I
can be, you know, this is a surprising trait.
You know, there are guys who pay for women to fart in jars.
Fart, yeah.
I mean,
but it's got to be a mason jar.
Minimum effort. Huh?
It's got to be a mason jar because the regular jars won't hold, you know, a peanut butter jar or something like that. You can't do it because it doesn't seal up right, but it's got
to
be amazing.
Well, this lady was, she was eating beans, you know, she's eating beans to be able to, you know.
Right.
Put out her product, and she ended up having to go to the hospital. She ate too many.
Well, that'll do
what?
It.
She ate too many beans.
Like, just Google it. I forget her name, but.
I don't give a fuck. I'm not Googling that shit. Like, fuck no.
You eat too many beans, you're going to be selling shit in a jar, Timmy. So, and there's not a huge, I mean, there's a submarket for that, but.
Well, yeah, I would think if you're going to fart in a fucking mason jar, you want to make sure there's not splatter, I would suppose, if that was a thing.
Yeah, you
now,
want a clean jar.
Are we done?
I mean, maybe you guys pay extra for that. She earns $20,000. A TikToker made TikToker made $200,000 farting in jars.
That's a fun way. It was Stephanie Motto from 90 Day Fiance was hospitalized for eating too many beans farts. Stephanie Motto sold her jarred flatulence for
$1,000 a jar.
Then what the fuck am I at Target for?
There you go. Devil farts. And you know, I'm trademarking that. I'm calling trademark devil farts, devil gas, both of them.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, I'm going to go on OnlyFans and do pictures of my feet. My feet are cute.
You could eat some cabbage and you could go to the devil nuke.
No.
So there's a lot of opportunities out there, Brandon.
So many opportunities for me to not work at Target. I know.
All right.
I am
going to
start selling pictures of my feet.
Omaima.
Who break in?
The 23-year-old said her new groom had sexually assaulted her and she killed him in self-defense. So, okay, I get that part.
We've not gotten into the story yet, so we're going to need you to just stay on topic. We're going to move forward.
But prosecutors said the murder was part of a plot to rob her husband, fitting with Nelson's reported history of conning older men using sex. I mean, who would do such a thing?
Any 23-year-old.
A heinous woman does stuff like that, Timmy. This sounds more like Jodi Arias without the cannibalism.
Arias?
Oh, that would be my guilty pleasure.
Yes, you would. Yes, you would.
Gross.
You know,
gross.
I wouldn't have her as a babysitter or anything.
Well, I would.
I think Susan Smith is available.
Yeah. I let Logan and the boys.
That was like early 90s. So she's got to be looking pretty rough now.
Let's see what Jody's up to.
All right.
Nobody cares what Jody's up to. Read the script. Stick to the script, Tim.
Okay. Omaima. Now, who the fuck her name is?
Omaima.
Was born in Egypt in 1968 and grew up in Cairo. As a child, she would claim she was subjected to abuse and female genital mutilation. Yeah, that's not cool.
Genital mutilation.
Very popular on the African continent.
Yeah. In 1986... Well, I don't remember signing a release to be circumcised either, but, you know.
Exactly.
In 1986, she immigrated to the United States where she found work as a nanny. Oh, that's great. And a model in California. I'm not buying a model shit. Everyone says they're a model.
Yeah.
According to the Los Angeles Times, Omaima, a beauty with cut glass cheekbones. Well, that's some description. met Bill Nelson in 1991 at a bar playing pool. You know, Colonel, she's lean. She had a short skirt on. She's leaning over to take a
Got
shot.
Got the boots. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going on. That's how they get you, Colonel.
It is. It is. It's always that eight ball in the eight ball in the corner pocket of my butt. That's what that's what they say to you. And then you're hooked, Timmy. And you know, I've never really I can't say I've met a woman, Timmy, that I wanted to take home to mama that I met playing pool. See, I mean, this generation's got it easy, Timmy. They just get on the Tinder and the Bumblebee and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they just swipe right. We had to go out and play pool. We had to, you know, bowl. We had to do all kinds of crazy shit to try to meet women.
We had to, like, call telephone booths and hope some hot
chick random woman answered. Yeah, although I will tell you, Timmy. When I was about 19 years old, I met me a very sensual 65-year-old lady in a telephone booth encounter. So, taught me a lot about the world, Timmy.
Wait. How old were you?
Living and a little about love. Yeah.
Yeah.
How old were you?
I was about 19, Timmy.
So she's 65.
Yeah, she was 65. And, you know, back then when I was 19... 65 was a hard age, Timmy. It's not like it is now. You get to be 65. You know, and it's good. It's a little scary.
We're young. We're young in our 60s, but
we're 60 now is like the new 58, Timmy. You know,
65, she must have been really hung by that point.
Oh, yeah, she was. But you know, she still had the other stuff. We just tucked it out of the way.
Yeah.
But
But yeah, that's what we do. Me and my buddies would call phone booths downtown Portsmouth and hope a nice looking woman or girl would answer. Because everyone came into town on Saturday, right? Because all the people in the lived in the country, they come down to shop. And it was a thing. Girls would go and hang out on the Esplanade and there would be phone booths there and guys would call and girls would pick up. And
then was a guy, you didn't just have Tinder. Is this Superman? Because I need you over here.
I'm sorry, this was Tinder before Tinder was a thing.
Yeah. But you know, you took it
was telephone Tinder.
You didn't know what they looked like. That was the thing. So what you would do, I live about five blocks from the Esplanade. So what you would do is when you'd talk to someone, and then your buddy would run to the Esplanade. See who you were talking to, and then they will come back and give her a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And if it's a thumbs up, you continue to talk to them and get their number. And if it's a thumbs down, you just hang up. So
fair enough.
This, you know, that was my life when I was a teenager. All right. Anyway, let's get back to the story. So her husband.
Devil, from the time you left to the time you have got back, we have not made one sentence progress on this story.
That sucks.
But we did get to reminisce about the old days of telephone booths and meeting girls in telephone booths.
I was like rushing. I needed another cup of coffee. So I'm like, oh my gosh. So I'm rushing. So I didn't miss anything. Perfect.
You didn't miss the thing.
Well, I think you did. I think you missed.
You did.
A lot.
You missed a lot. I mean, I told Timmy about the time I banged a 65-year-old lady that I met on the telephone booth, and I was only 19 years old.
I want to. You know what?
He said, "Come here, pretty boy. Gonna make you a man." It was like Lola.
It wasn't Lola. Like that, but also gross.
All right. So Bill,
don't age shame the lady.
No, I'm shaming you.
She's dead now.
She is dead.
I bet she is.
Well, she was dead halfway through the act, Timmy, but she consented at first, so I had consent to finish.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, what is the moral obligation there if you're
There is no, if they can say in the beginning, Timmy,
activity and the core and the woman dies. What's the call there, Brandy? Do you have to stop?
I think at some point, fairly quickly, you dive into necrophilia.
No, you don't.
I mean,
no,
pretty quick. If
their
she's
body temperature,
if she's
and
death looks, rattled,
body temperature has to get below 90 degrees before necrophilia.
If there's a death rattle, then
no, it's like if
that's the point you need to stop. That's the point it gets weird.
If you can't do doggy style death because rigor set in and you can't bend the joints, that is borderline necrophilia. But if they give their consent going in,
thank God,
and then they kick over, then you have consent to defend. You have consent, an obligation to finish.
No.
Because this person has given their life to complete that act. This person has given their life to satisfy you, so you cannot walk away unsatisfied.
No, I agree. I think if
or you're dishonoring their memory.
Listen, in that act willingly, then you have you're free to finish. I really think that's...
You're obligated, Timmy. Okay. Think about it. You dishonor the poor woman who just kicked over trying to please you. You're going to say, you know what? Yes, I will finish for you.
No, here's the problem. We're 45 minutes into this shit.
But you know,
and I bet we've not read 10 sentences. So let's just, can we move forward? Well, I mean, just, I know.
Think, but Chuck, I think it depends where. I mean, if you're in the act, you're in the act.
It does not depend. When you hear a death rattle, your good time's over.
But you can't pull out and then, you know, finish in her mouth or
anything. Well, here's the weird thing about that. It's kind of it's an unwritten rule that even if they're dead, you can't get it in the hair, Timmy.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not a rule, not a thing.
The mortician would be pissed off.
Yeah. Yep. That might bring him back to life, though. You know, it's better than CPR. You get something in their hair, and they're going to pop right back to life and say, "What is wrong with you? I told you not to get in my hair."
So her husband, Bill, used to be a pilot, but in 1984, that was a good year. I was 23 years old, and I was getting Kel then.
I was in fourth grade.
He was convicted of smuggling marijuana. Oh, here we go.
The ganja man.
After serving 4 years in prison, in federal prison, he was released on parole and got a job at a mortgage company. Okay.
Of course he did.
Prosecutors later said that before meeting Omema, had allegedly begun using her beauty to get several older men to lavish her with money, pay her rent, and buy her cars.
And give her good grades on her exams, Timmy.
Let it go.
And she had an economics professor.
She had no shame, Timmy.
Let
she got
it
a
go.
College degree on her good looks.
Let it go.
After knowing each other for just a few days, Bill, who was 56 years old, and 33-year-old Omema were married. Just few days, known each other a few days. That's a lesson, Colonel. You need to spend more time getting to know a person, because if you marry someone too soon, you may end up being
dead.
In Thanksgiving
dead.
Dinner.
Yeah, in the soup, so to speak, Timmy.
But this is Bill. Come on, Bill. Get a grip, Bill. Did you really think that she was just with you because you are a mortgage broker? Come on, Bill. What the fuck, Bill?
Well, the man can have hopes and aspirations.
He needs to keep them fucking, to himself, because after a couple of days, yes, you and this 23-year-old are meant to be together. Yeah, fucking do that, Bill. Fucking idiot. It's good. They deserve to be duped. They're fucking stupid. Go ahead.
They were quiet. They were real quiet, mysterious people. Claimed the president of Bill's company, Sue Swanson. And so she said in the New York, Los Angeles Times in 1991. She said Bill and Omema, quote, and all of a sudden they were, Bill met Omema, and quote, and all of a sudden they were married. So
yeah,
I mean, why stupid. Wait? You know, if you're in love, go for it.
Right.
According to the acquaintances, the couple spent their honeymoon visiting Bill's relatives in Texas and Arkansas. But you know who's from Arkansas is Elise. Elise.
Yeah.
Elise is from Arkansas?
Arkansas.
I did not know that. I thought Elise was, Elise seemed more of a metropolitan type woman to me, Timmy.
Speaking of shout outs, Brandy, you want to give a shout out to our friend, new friend?
So, yeah, we want to give a shout out to Anna Kaufman. I appreciate the email that you sent to Tim directing him that nothing was as good unless I was involved in it. So, thank you very much.
Speaking for the masses, Anna is.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is.
And
I told you all one day I'd have a
call.
Did
she say that? What did she say? Well, never mind. I don't want to
tell you. She says she loves Brandy.
Oh,
she didn't mention you or me. She said that she loves Brandy.
Yeah, that's but what we need.
It was a very nice letter. So thank you, Anna.
It was a very nice letter.
Well, but you know, immediately now, and I don't want to say anything bad about a patron.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you will.
I'm immediately questioning her judgment. You know, there are certain things that people say to you that are immediate red flags. And one, I love Brandy, raises red flags and trumpets for me. It's like, I mean, we've been together for a long time. You know, we're all friends here. We can be honest. Let's just put it out. Brandy's a goddamn psycho. So if she's your favorite, I'm going to wonder about you. That's all I'm saying. She's mean. She's mean-spirited. She doesn't have, there's very, you would have to do an autopsy on Brandy, and you still might not find humanity in there anywhere. So I'm just saying.
Wow.
Am I wrong, Timmy?
Do we have to wait till she's dead to do an autopsy?
No, but
they didn't wait till we was dead to do our circumcisions, Timmy.
But why am I getting this grief when you're the one wondering at what point do you stop banging the 65-year-old in a phone booth? But I'm the one that lacks humanity. And
you know what? Because we're questioning. We're raising the questions to see, to make sure that we align our values with society's values. We want to become good members of society.
And this is exactly. Well, Tucker, you just asking the question
doesn't
really work for me. asking questions.
I'm just asking the questions.
Yeah. All right, go ahead. So they've been to Texas.
So according to acquaintances, a couple spent their honeymoon at Bill's relatives in Texas and Arkansas. But the honeymoon phase didn't last for long.
Let me say this. Not. Now I have a real problem with this. And I got to say, I think that doing your whole honeymoon visiting relatives is 100% motive for murder. I mean, if that's it what is. You're doing on your honeymoon, you're not taking your new wife to somewhere sunny and beachy or skiing and said you're going to visit your fucking relatives. Yeah, okay, you deserve to be killed.
In Arkansas, no less.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, not there's anything specifically wrong with Arkansas, but I don't think they have a lot of beaches. I don't think there's a lot of sun there. You know, it's not.
They have hot springs.
Listen, according to Eric Estrada, there's lots of land there that can be bought. That's lovely. That's what he tells me on his infomercial.
Well,
Eric Estrada's talking.
Yes!
I've never seen that.
Yes.
The downside is you're living in Arkansas.
Right. But yes, Eric Estrada has been hawking land from Arkansas.
But you know, they have a new, their new governor has the smoky eye, right? That sexy smoky eye that she's got going on. Huckabee Sanders. She is. Whew.
She's one. I think that was a jarts accident when she was a kid.
Is that what it was? That wouldn't surprise me.
Now, you know, right. I don't want, when you talk about beaches, I'm just going to say Arkansas has a number of very lovely beaches. If you ever go to Lake Alcheeta up in Mountain Pine, Arkansas. One of the prettiest places you ever see in your life. It's like Maui.
I spent a weekend in Hot Springs with my cousin who was going there to meet a woman.
Oh, okay.
And his girlfriend set me up on a date, and we spent the weekend in a hotel room watching, like, you know, what are they, the giant trucks?
Oh, yeah, monster trucks.
Yeah, monster trucks. That was the highlight of the fucking weekend.
Now, Thad, you go and see weird shit. Have you ever been at the Coliseum when they've done monster trucks?
Actually, I actually have. When we were doing roller derby, they were there the week before a game.
It will vibrate you down to your anus when you're watching those things. I mean
you feel that shit in your chest.
Just goes through you.
Yeah.
Well, it's not. I'm sure it's better in person than it is on ESPN2. So.
Yeah. ESPN 11.
Wasn't a lot going on in Arkansas. I did go to horse races there, though. That was interesting. So, so they were married for a month. Omaima Nelson said once they were married, Bill started showing his violent side, physically and sexually abusing her during their short union. Remember, they were married for 1 month.
Yeah. See,
imagine that,
like, you'd want to
part of him.
1 month, you're not getting a whole lot of buy-in from the person before you start pulling that shit on them. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, no.
Well, right. Anyway, Omaima claimed on Thanksgiving weekend in 1991, Bill sexually assaulted her, which is not cool, in their Costa Mesa, California apartment. She claimed he tried to rape her and then strangle her. She grabbed a lamp and hit him with it in self-defense before stabbing him with scissors and killing him.
Okay, here is the point of the story, Timmy, where everything she left. Can explain a lot of her actions, Timmy.
Well, she said,
he tried to physically assault, she beat him. At this point, you could kind of side with the girl. You know, you could side with the woman. Okay, he was acting a fool. He tried to sexually assault me. He was beating me. I stabbed him with scissors. Okay, he had that coming, right?
Right.
Now, the story takes a darker turn here, and it's a little hard to justify your behavior after this.
Well, she said, if I didn't defend,
the paragraph before is the clutch paragraph.
It is.
Oh, I'm sorry. So after she stabbed him to death, Omaima Nelson then methodically cut up her deceased husband, boiling his head and cooking his hands in oil. It was also reported that she castrated him in revenge for the assault. I mean, after he's already dead.
He doesn't care.
No.
Also, did she eat his hands? Because why else would you cook them?
And
well,
this is where.
Probably did his nails, I would think.
She made his fucking hands into a goddamn funnel cake. Did she eat them? It's not a weird-ass question.
Sugar on them. Or, you know, that might have been like more like a pork chop where you throw some applesauce on them. However, I am going to say, here's where we get into this weird double standard.
Was it on a stick?
That's
the clutch part.
Is that we were just talking about consent and things like that. And there's a certain little squeamish, puritanical group of listeners who are going to think, what sick men are they? No, you know, and that's fine. You're entitled to your opinion. But now they're going to be cheering her on for dismembering and castrating him after he was dead.
Oh, yeah.
We gently finish making love to the woman?
Nope.
If she's given consent, but she has consent to chop his Johnson off.
You know what? Here's the thing. That's not it. Is there any proof whatsoever that he actually assaulted her?
Well, I mean, it's just, I mean, really, she's the only one that knows.
Right.
She said at that point.
Right.
She said, if I didn't defend my life, I would have been dead. I'm sorry it happened, but I'm glad I lived. I'm sorry I dismembered him.
And she said she was sorry.
In one court report, a psychiatrist testified that Omima told him she had put on red shoes, a red hat, and red lipstick before preparing her husband. So she was getting all dolled up before.
Did any of the three men here get a little tingle in their man parts when you see in a red shoe?
That does not sound pleasant.
Well, I mean, no, throw away the castration and the cooking the guy. I'm just saying, you know, her getting all dressed up like that. I mean, I appreciate her putting some effort into it. You know, so many women let themselves go.
She got dressed up to cook fair food.
After they get married, they let themselves go, but not her. She put on red shoes, a red hat, and lipstick before preparing. And, you know, before preparing her husband, now that's not good. But if it would have been preparing for her husband, that would have made her a very good wife. One word for
amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing story.
But that's not what happened. The psychiatrist also testified that Omima initially told him that she had eaten her husband's ribs, but then later she denied it. Omima reportedly said that after preparing Bill Nelson's ribs with barbecue sauce was like eating in a restaurant. It was so sweet. So there you go.
See, she didn't really have time to marinate the ribs properly, though. I don't feel like.
That weekend.
Thanks, Omima, child.
Omima, who was a spy, by the way. Julia Child.
What?
Yes, she was.
She was with the CIA.
Oh, yeah, Omima.
She was, Timmy. She was a spy. Huh? She was a spy, Timmy. We're just going to cut the celery over here.
Remember that Saturday Night Live skit where she
everybody
wears
that. Yeah. Oh, I'm starting to feel pain now.
Oh, I nicked myself.
Y'all.
The blood was squirting everywhere. All right. So anyway, that weekend, Omima Nelson mixed her husband's remains with leftover Thanksgiving turkey.
Atta girl.
She disposed of what she could in the garbage disposal before wrapping the remaining body parts in newspaper and putting them in trash bags. According to her psychiatrist, she mixed his body parts with leftover Thanksgiving turkey and cooked his ribs in barbecue sauce before eating them. So there you go.
Now, she never admitted any of that to the cop. They're just getting that from her psychiatrist. Is that how I'm reading that?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. She later denied that she ate him. She admitted she killed him and cut him up. She denied that she ate him, but she told her psychiatrist that she ate his ribs.
But here's
that
the thing.
Seemed like
how
a good psychiatrist.
Could the psychiatrist say anything? How could he say anything? She already did it. They can't say anything. All they can do is report future crimes.
Yeah.
Is he running his jib-jab?
Here's the thing.
Here?
And I think you know that, Devil.
Appointed psychiatrist, and, you know, they testify. So,
I think, that was my understanding because I had my therapist sign a waiver that they do not disclose on anything that, because, you know, that's the thing about therapy. Here's the thing, Timmy. You go in there and they always tell you, you know, this is a safe place. You can say whatever on your mind. It's a non-judgmental space. Bullshit. But as soon as you tell them what's really on your mind, security escorts you out of the building. You know?
Yeah.
Well, not everyone.
That's true.
But... I mean,
I think there's an acceptable standard. And then it, you know, once you get over that line, like, you know, hey, I banged a 65-year-old woman who happened to die in the middle of the throes of passion. I kept going. That might be.
I'm just saying. It's
but he
like
can't report that because she's already dead.
You feel like you're bonding. You feel like you're connecting. You feel like, okay, finally I get somebody who understands me. And then you look up, you know, because you just look talking. What, you know, you got a little bit of shame and you're talking, looking at your shoes and whatever. And you look up and you see the look of horror on the therapist's face. And they just say, Jesus Christ. And then there's a knock on the door.
I don't think they have an obligation to report if someone is in danger. So I don't think they can hide a crime. Well, you know what I mean?
So I guess anyway, only people in danger is if she was serving this shit at the next picnic. You know, that would be putting people in danger.
I mean, she could at least took it down to, like, the Salvation Army or something.
You know what? This is my favorite. I got to say, this is my favorite part of the show, Timmy. Mm-hmm. When Brandy's dial-up connection drops off and she disconnects.
She must have the worst Wi-Fi in the world. But anyway, well, let me continue. So after killing him, chopping him up, eating his ribs, allegedly eating his ribs, she then drove to a friend's house and showed her the trash bag that she had stuffed in the back of Bill's red 1975 Corvette. Oh, he had a sweet ride. Okay. She allegedly offered her friend $75,000. If she would help her dispose of her husband's remains.
Now, should you have to pay your friend to help you hide a body? I mean, isn't that what friends are for?
Well, yeah, I don't know. Maybe, but, you know.
I mean, that is a lot of money.
I mean, it is a lot of money. But I don't,
that's a lot of money.
She get it. I don't think she... I think there's maybe his insurance or something, but... The friend, I mean, I would have probably done it for the 1975 Corvette, actually.
Yep. It's a sweet, I think you said a sweet ride.
The friend immediately reported what happened to the police. So apparently it wasn't a very good friend.
Snitches get stitches.
Yeah, snitches get britches. Authorities sorted through the bag from the car as Nelson looked on quietly. Because the body was so dismembered, police immediately identified the remains. Oh, I'm sorry. They couldn't immediately identify the remains. They also couldn't determine a cause of death due to the body's conditions. The police detained Omaima for questioning, which lasted all that Sunday night. Meanwhile, Bill was reported missing after he didn't show up for work the following Monday following Thanksgiving holiday. Well, I mean, you know, a lot of people take that day off. Swanson told the police that last time she saw him was just before he left on the Wednesday before the long weekend. Police also searched the Nelson's apartment and found more bags containing body parts. Ralph Pawlowski, the Orange County senior deputy district attorney, was at the apartment all day.
That's a hell of a title, isn't it? What do you? Yeah. I'm the Orange County Senior Deputy District
Attorney. So he would be
CSDDA.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah,
a lot of letters.
He said there were suitcases and plastic bags soaked with dark liquid from body parts. In the fryer cooker, there sat Mr. Nelson's hands. And when he opened the refrigerator, there were Mr. Nelson's head with stab wounds. He also said that she had entrails in his Corvette, and she was trying to get an ex-boyfriend to yank out his dentures from the head so she could dump the head in the back bay. Why couldn't she just keep his dentures? I guess because they could identify him. I don't know.
But how hard are dentures to take out? He must have had some serious ass poly grip in there. I mean, don't you normally just pull dentures out and let them clap across the table?
She's not reaching in his mouth. That's nasty.
However, much of Mr. Nelson's body was still missing during the trial. Pulaski described it as about 130 pounds. We're missing, he said, quote, we're missing about 130 pounds of Bill. Pulaski said, according to
that
the
sounds US like a song.
Yeah.
You know where he might have gone? Question mark. Omima said, no, he was all there, but apparently he wasn't.
He was not. Right.
In December 1992, the trial of Bill Nelson's murder began. Brandy, you want to take it from here?
And it seems like, you know, I don't know. It seems like they had the smoking skillet, Timmy, on her. So, I mean, I don't know how you'd be her defense attorney.
She had his hands in a corn baller.
I wonder if they could do a search of her stool.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she could have a do the colonoscopy at the same time if she sent a stool in that little bag.
A colon guard.
All right. All right.
I wonder if anybody's ever sent anything into colon guard and said, "Hey, there's human remains in this stuff."
I wonder if
there's a confidentiality thing that you send. You know, if you find bits and pieces of Legos, you know, or whatever.
Legos.
Well, first of all, if you're sending something into Colaguard, I would hope as an adult person that you are not eating Legos. If you are, then you deserve what you get.
Why are you kink shaming people?
I'm not kink shaming shit. I'm just saying Legos are not digestible.
If somebody wants to chew on a Lego, who am I to judge?
Are into Legos.
Yeah,
that's all we do is judge.
There is a whole section of Lego porn on Pornhub.
Yeah,
whole section.
Kind of hot to do with that.
Kind
of
hot.
Speaking of which, have you ever run into any furries?
Like have I run it? No, yeah. But that's the thing.
It's
everybody knows
thing.
That.
And we ran into a group. We ran into a group of about 20, and I had so many questions, and they have a very,
Where did you run into a group of 20 furries that were out in the world dressed up that you knew they were furries?
Western Bowl. Western Bowl.
You know what?
I will believe that.
Logan can vouch for me. And I had questions, and you know what? They're just regular people who have they like to dress up as whatever, but they have very strict codes. Like, you know, if you're a rat, you can't be with a bird. And if you're a, boyfriend and girlfriend, those kind of things, it's more complicated than you would think. There are rules.
Okay.
They're a little society. No, that's no and they have their
let,
own
me, let me tell you, there's no. a guy in Japan.
God damn it.
Who goes by the name Good Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And he spent more than $15,000 on a hyper-realistic costume so he could fulfill his lifelong dream of becoming a collie. He lives as a collie 24/7. So I don't know what to do with that, Brandy, but
that is commitment to the bit right there. That's what that is.
Yeah. So all of this weird shit notwithstanding, in December of 1992, the trial for Bill Nelson's murder began. There was no dispute that Omaima had killed him. Still, her attorney, public defender Thomas G. Mooney, said she'd acted in self-defense after her husband attempted to rape her that night. Mooney also said that Nelson had been involved in other abusive relationships and as a result had been long suffering from battered women syndrome. The condition took a psychological toll on her, ultimately leading to the November 1991 killing. Nelson had also told authorities that she was under severe stress because her husband was physically and sexually abusive. She was given a psychological exam, revealing that she suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder.
I mean, my thing I would question there is that they just got married. They just met each other and got married.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, it was pretty quick for it to go
left.
Yeah.
Right. The prosecution, on the other hand, said that Nelson had other motives. They believe she was plotting to steal from her husband and that she had a long history of using her sexuality to con older men for their money. In January 1993, Omaima Nelson was convicted of second-degree murder and sentenced to 28 years to life at Central California Women's Facility at Chowchilla. Omaima Nelson was first eligible for parole in 2006, but she was denied as she was found to be an unpredictable threat to public safety.
I always wondered, why doesn't it work the other way? Why can't men use their sexuality to get money out of women? Why is it always?
Oh, you can. If you play your cards right.
They do.
The 65-year-old lady, before she, she did give consent. And we're adjusting for inflation. But I think I got like $7 from her.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah. I thought maybe she bought you an 8-track tape or something.
Well, that's what it was for. That's back when I really wanted the Doors' Greatest Hits. Uh-huh. And I wanted the 8-track. It was like $6.39 or something. She gave me $7 to go about it. So, I can't say I'm above that either.
Remember when we used to buy 45s and they were a dollar? Remember? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now you buy a song on Apple and it's $1.05. Really? Haven't been that much.
It's an amazing story. So this girl.
Oh, you got two songs though. You had A side.
Yeah, you got the A side and the B side.
Yeah, so I guess that counts for some.
Okay.
You know what was remarried. The worst thing, Timmy?
Fuck me.
Was when you had a 45. Me. And you couldn't find that little thing that you inserted, to keep it in place.
Yeah, because you have the long playing LPs.
Yeah, not had the tiny little hole that just went on the pole, and that was not going anywhere. But if you had the 45, you had to have the little adapter. And then you get home, and you got your Bay City Rollers 45, and you really want to just jam out. But you can't find your adapter, so you try to line it up perfectly, but you really can't. You never get it right.
I had Sean Cassidy. I had the Sean Cassidy album.
Oh, yeah.
Of course she did. Okay.
As a connoisseur of round tables, you buy a lot of records, right?
We do. We've recently got into the record game.
Can you still buy 45s or just?
You can. We actually, we bought a couple last weekend. Yeah. Yeah. And they were $20.
Do you have this?
I don't. I think some maybe the vintage store in Northside may have that. I may have to go shout out to Shake It Records in Northside.
Okay.
Nice.
Are we all done? We good now?
Continue, Devil. Good? Devil, we're trying to get through this boy here.
I don't know why you can't get through this girl.
Yeah, could you just please go on? Timmy's got B-plays.
She remarried while in prison. this time to a man in his 70s who died conveniently before her second bid for parole in 2011.
Oh, hug him. You know, her commissary account just ballooned up after that. She was getting she was getting a full size Snickers bars.
After a 5.5 hour hearing, she was denied once again.
Jailbirds.com. Yeah. It's a dating site. Swear to God. Jailbirds.com.
Jailbird. Maybe we can get them as a sponsor. That would be great. I'm going to look into that.
Randy, can you please continue?
Come on, Devin.
So after 5.5 hours, she was denied again. The LA Times reported that at her parole hearing, Nelson said she was a changed person who had looked for love in all the wrong places. But she was like
Eddie Rabbit.
Yeah.
Wookin' Panub. She like Gumby.
Panub in all the wrong places.
Yep. But now, she said, I have a strong desire to help others. Whatever.
She's a changed woman, Brandy. She's a changed woman. She's,
okay, well, what are you good at? Well, I'm good at cooking.
Yeah. I wonder if she worked in the kitchen.
You know what? Yeah. She should seriously just go on the road with the carnival.
You know, I think she did. I think she got some Jesus up in that bitch. That's what she did.
There you go. Nelson also vehemently denied eating her husband. Because that's just a bridge too far. I have a strong, let's see. I swear to God, I did not eat any part of him, she said. I'm not a monster.
I'm sure I chopped him up. I cut his dick off. I stabbed him in the head. I put him in my freezer, but you know what? Yeah, I have standards. There are lines I will not cross, and I did not eat all of him.
Well,
I mean, I will say, Commissioner, you kill someone, though, and you need to make the body go away. Isn't that a good way to go about it, is to chop it up? So that kind of makes sense.
Well, to chop it up, yeah. Hogs.
You feed it to hogs.
Feed it to hogs. Anyway. See, there you go.
When the parole commissioner asked her what was the point of cooking him, Nelson refused
to
answer.
Maybe that's why Leanne keeps asking me to buy some hogs.
Yeah. Maybe.
I'd watch out.
And some good cookware.
Did she recently buy a stock pot?
She did.
Or an Instapot. There you go. Instapot now. We don't even
know. Oh, you know what? If she would have had an air fryer back then, she could have done it. Oh, yeah.
So anyway, she was denied parole, and she is not eligible for parole again until 2026.
Oh, so, you know what I've never understood?
Yeah, we do.
2026.
So if you're listening to this episode, tune in 3 years. We will do a follow-up.
Right.
Yeah. I thought about this yesterday. Because I was out, I was taking the dogs to the park, and I got across these railroad tracks, and a train stopped me. And I thought, you know, why do all these people go through trouble trying to bury a body and do whatever? Just take the body, lay it on the railroad tracks, and you're going to have nothing but stew after they find them anyway. They're not going to be doing any CSI things, you know?
It's kind of scary how your mind works, Colonel.
Well, listen, because
I don't even want to talk
as
about
a kid, Timmy,
you.
you're from Portsmouth, right? Yeah. You didn't go down and put pennies on the railroad tracks, and after the train came,
we used to jump on the trains though and ride them.
We used to jump on the train, but did you ever get shot at by the assault guns? Have the engineers shoot at you? We had engineers that would shoot at you with shotguns with rock salt in them.
Oh, shit.
Oh yeah, yeah. They didn't like for you to.
No,
but the other thing is it wasn't safe. Well, and the other thing is there's hobos on trains.
We like to just hit them with rocks. We used to stand on the trestle and drop things onto the railroad cars. But then we'd always go down and run. We'd run down when the train was coming. And if we had a penny or a nickel, we put it on the railroad tracks. And then we go run up to the trestle and we take all these, you know, because there's a lot of rocks on around there. And we would drop them, not onto the trains themselves, but like the coal booths, the coal trains. We'd try to throw the rocks into the car, you know, that was carrying all the coal.
There was a kid in my neighborhood who was doing what we were doing, jumping on trains. And he slipped, lost his leg.
Yeah.
It can happen. It's a dangerous sport.
They don't want to do that shit. They don't want to deal with your bullshit. No wonder. Well,
they don't stop. They just keep going. They don't even know.
Yeah, well, but you still got to fill out paperwork and shit. If they find body parts on your train, there's paperwork.
I'm glad I grew up with video games.
I was going to write a script on the people who kill themselves by sitting in front of the train tracks in New York in the subway.
Oh, in the subway. Yeah.
They have a code. They have a code for it. And the people who, like the engineers and stuff, they have to go through counseling every time they run over someone. But it happens frequently. I mean, like several times.
That's a code red for sure.
Yeah. I think it's like a 705. It's a code 705 in New York. If someone stands out.
Why the fuck would you just, you don't even know.
The code for when someone gets ran over by a subway in New York, there's a code.
Okay. We'll see what we can find.
Okay.
No, my God.
Now, the other thing about trains are hobos, Colonel.
Yes, it's Timmy. There is a diagnosis code, Timmy, that is 2024 ICD-TIM-CM. It's assault by pushing or placing victim in front of a subway train.
Yeah. This is the code that they use
for people that jumped.
Yeah, or sit on a railroad track. Because you can't, the subways can't stop on a dime. So, but anyway, the thing it reminds me of, Colonel, is Carl Panzeran when he got on that train with all those hobos.
Right. And Carl came off a different person.
Nothing worse, Brandy, than being sexually assaulted by a train car full of hobos.
Right.
I'm going to take your word for it.
Well, because they're dirty, they're, you know.
Breaking news. It is a 12-9.
12-9.
12-9, that's the code. Huh?
And in 2020, there were recorded 158 12-9s in New York City.
Shoot.
Did any survive? Do you know?
Let's see here what it is. My apologies. Of those, 58 were fatal.
So, Brandy, what's your final thoughts on Omina Nelson?
My final thoughts were, I don't know that I'm buying her story. I do absolutely believe she was traumatized, but I don't know if I'm believing her story that this particular guy did this to her. He could have just been a representation of all the other times, which makes it quite a difference than what she's claiming to be self-defense.
I think they didn't enter in a key piece of evidence into the trial. The man drove a Corvette. Now there's a very high douche factor when you're driving around in a Corvette. So I would have said, no, she didn't kill her husband. She killed a guy who drove a Corvette. See, it changes the mind of the jury. It gives them a whole different perspective.
Yeah, that's stupid.
And I would refer to him not by his name. I would say on October 28th, did the Corvette owner, rather than say your husband, I would say, did the Corvette driver? And, you know, everybody in the jury would be like, yeah, he was a douchebag. You had it coming.
So you're trying to plant that in their minds to say that he had it coming.
It's psychological. It's a thing that, you know, any good defense attorney would do. You would just refer to him as the Corvette driver.
So nobody does that. And she actually put his entrails in the Corvette. So that's a thing.
It's symbolic of your Corvette has no power. It's not what you think it is. So she was soiling the Corvette too.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Fad, what's your final thought on Omina Nelson?
I like ribs a lot. Oh, I think this may have killed it for me. I really don't know if I can ever go to the boathouse again.
I was never a rib man. But
never a rib man?
No.
We'd like to thank all of our listeners who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, all one word, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or Colonel?
Or Timmy, you can just give a wee, wee little tip of the bit.
Wow.
We like to welcome.
Just the
like
tip, to, we promise. Just give the tip.
We would like to wish all of our listeners a very, very happy Thanksgiving. And we hope you don't eat humans. So,
yes.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving, Devil?
I'm going to my parents' house.
Going to your parents' house?
Yep.
I, being a man of many travels, will be going to Chicago to meet Warren, Tana's partner's parents, for the first time.
Lovely.
And my son is quite concerned about that.
He should be, because you're a jackass.
Quite
the Fockers.
Right.
It's very much meet the Fockers. And I will
Greg, can you milk me?
Tell you meet the fucker. It's all it is.
My youngest son, Brandy, works down in the main building at JFS, and he the other day, not too long ago, ran into Michael Patton, and Michael Patton, the director of JFS, said, "Logan, I've seen you every day since you've been here. You have never told me you're Chuck's son. I didn't." And
you
Logan
there's a reason
said,
for that.
Logan, you know what Logan said to Mike? He said, "You know, Michael, my dad's kind of hit or miss with people. Either like my dad or you really don't like my dad. So I just want people to kind of look at me as who I am and not as my dad."
He doesn't want to be associated with you. That's amazing.
He does not. So
reputation precedes it.
Quite well.
My lovely English wife is going to cook Thanksgiving dinner.
Is she going to make Cornish game hens for everybody, nice. Timmy?
No, she's cooking. And I think she's going to have Yorkshire pudding, but no, it's going to be a very American Thanksgiving. So I'm looking forward to that. Because
every time I go into the grocery store, I see Cornish
hens. I don't know why she keeps wanting me to buy hogs, but
just one. You only need one, Timmy.
Yeah.
Well, you live in Kentucky. They can't be that hard to find.
They're not.
Dad, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
We are going to Melissa's extended family who live in, it's in Kentucky. It's the place right across from Georgetown. I'm trying to think of what that little town is called. It's where George Clooney is from. Marysville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Yeah, Maysville. That's right. That's where we're going.
Maysville. I've been there.
Perfect.
Good little town.
It's a cool little town over there. I do not like the bridge that gets over there, that takes you over there.
That bridge is, you mean the huge one? The huge bridge?
Yeah.
It doesn't look like it's out of place in that little ass town.
And it's way too high. Why'd they have to build it so damn
high? I don't know. So just quickly, if you're unfamiliar, going from Ohio into Kentucky in Maysville, you're in this little, like, almost nothing town, and then this huge bridge, which you feel like you would see in New York City or San Francisco or something, just out of nowhere. It's like they got a grant for,
it's
you know,
like
half
the
a
Sunshine
billion dollars.
Bridge down in Florida, where it's massive, it's way, way above the water, and then it goes up and comes down, and you're like, what the hell kind of, you don't have ships coming through here.
Right, exactly. There's not cruise vessels going through there.
He built that bridge. So,
Mitch O'Connell?
But Dad,
correct me if I'm wrong. It's only two lanes.
It is two lanes. You're right.
That's
it
what's
is.
So baffling about it is it's two lanes. One in one
sure
direction,
only,
one in the other.
Sure,
but the son of a bitch, they built it 500 feet over the ground. And I mean, it's just, it's basically a dressed up wooden bridge.
It really is
that they spent billions of dollars on.
And okay. It's amazing. Kind of out of nowhere.
But, all right. Let's get out of here. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Have a happy Thanksgiving. And we'll see you again real soon.
Good day.
Before we sign off, we'd like to read the list of our Patreon sponsors. And if you'd like to contribute to the show, you can go to historydweebs.org, find the Patreon link there, and you can donate to the show. So we'd like to thank the following. Jason Dykes, Jeff and Don Chestnut, Sarah Bloom, Ben Dubrovich. Thank you all for being sponsors of the show. Thank you to Jennifer Sabota, Michelle Johns, Erica Kenny, Laura O'Reilly, Shirley Strapp. Thank you each for being contributors to the History Dweebs podcast. Anon Amos. I got a chance to meet Anon at the last History Dweebs DweebCon. Really nice guy. Thank you for being a Patreon sponsor. Todd Long, Amber Anderson, the lovely Jamie Dent, the lovely Clark and Diane Trowbridge, Mary Ann Knight. Thank you to Jess for being a Patreon sponsor. Anna Kaufman, Danielle Townsend, Jennifer Orcutt. We want to say thanks to the Already Gone podcast. Buffy Sykes, Emily Tarkov, Gina Green. Thank you to each of you for being Patreon sponsors to the History Dweebs podcast. Sue Van Hook, Alan Cox. We want to say thank you to the Canadian True Crime podcast. We want to say thanks to the Rants and Reason True Crime podcast. Thank you each for being Patreon subscribers. Liz Lawrence, Cheryl LeBlanc Weldon, Justin, Carl Osplund, Guy Savage, Christina Harmeyer, and we want to say as well thank you to Wool Hat and Shelley. And of course to our good friend Hyro. We want to thank the person who continues to subscribe to the podcast in his name. Thank you each of our sponsors. We appreciate your support.
My guilty one is pleasure is Mitch McConnell.
One of the reasons you're ill-prepared to be a human being.
And you all want to talk about some fucked up foreign porn. We can't just stick with the fucked up story we have. We have to branch off into other fucked up shit. Can we just stay with the fucked up shit that's right fucking here?
Me and Al Bundy had one thing in common. To me, is we like bigots.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.